was young, my dad used to, he's always had a football in my hand. He used to throw it to me and I used to catch all the time.
I mean, that's the reason why we play football. We play football to be in big games and be in games that count.
You are now inside the Monarch Asylum.
A fresh take from one of the most diehard alums, born from the layout tables of the Mason Crown and raised in the studio of WODU. Now he's back and ready to lead you into a discussion about Old Dominion sports. Here's your host, my main man and yours, David Augadello.
You are inside the Monarch Asylum podcast, your ODU football podcast for 2015, brand new. Well, not completely brand new. This is our 11th episode. Very proud to hit the double digits last week. But it is an ODU football-based podcast. Been getting a lot of positive feedback. A lot of people out there like it. A lot of people sharing it. A lot of downloading it. I appreciate the support very much. My name is David Augadello, Old Dominion class of 98, Graybridge High School class of 93. Producing this podcast from sunny South Florida. Hate to rub that in, but it's been beautiful the last couple days. As usual, the voices you heard at the top of the show, Jonathan Duhart, sophomore wide receiver, probably the hottest player on this Monarch team right now, and junior defensive end Terrell Reed talks a little bit about the defense. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at ODU Asylum, and you can also find us on Facebook just by searching Monarch Asylum. Listen, I'm excited for this week. Because it's a big game this week. It's Super Bowl week. It is the biggest game in program history. It's our Super Bowl. Oh, waiting all day for a Super Bowl fight. Thank you, Carrie Underwood. Thank you for singing that song for us. Hey, Bobby Wilder talked about it to his team and to the media after the Southern Miss game. That this is the Super Bowl week for your ODU Monarchs. The players have acknowledged it, everyone has acknowledged it, and they've embraced it. And listen, we'll get more into this later into the last block when I kind of break down the upcoming game. But, you know, it's playoff time. This is great. Bobby's talked about it for 3 weeks. They've been in playoff mode, but now it is the ultimate do or die. One game to extend your season, or you go home, or you stay home and have a long December without practices. And we'll get more into that later, too. But, hey, it's playoff football. I love the playoffs in any sport. Let's see what we got. Let's see what our players do on the biggest stage. And, you know, it's one of the reasons I love watching sports. I want every sporting event I go to come down to the last minute, last 30 seconds. I want to see who steps up and makes a play in the biggest stage. And I want to see if the Monarchs can do it. Now, they have a history of doing it. Bobby Wilder's teams have a history of performing in big games. But we'll see if they can do this young version, one of his youngest teams, and one of his most banged-up teams he's ever had at this point in the season. We'll see if they have the ability to pull it off. I think they do, but it's going to be interesting. You know it's going to be interesting, because if ODU is going to be in this game, you know it's going to be a close game. They either get blown out or win close games. I'm hoping they get the close game. But anyways, before we get into that, we got to look back at Southern Mississippi, the Fighting Favs. You know, this game went in with a lot of expectations, went in with a lot of high hopes for the way the offense had been rolling and the defense had been playing. And, you know, all those high hopes and wishes were answered early on. Just what a beautiful first half for the Monarchs. Building a nice 17-14 lead, looking good, making plays on both sides of the ball, offense moving, defense making plays when it need to, kind of ODU football as we know it. And then the nightmare came. Well, they followed one of their best halves of the season against one of the best teams in Conference USA with probably their worst quarter of the season. That third quarter was a nightmare. Oh, my God, that third quarter was terrible. And the problem was it started out great. I mean, it was beautiful. ODU comes out. They have a 17-14 lead. A Duhart touchdown. Jonathan Duhart just on fire. His seventh catch of the game, he gets a touchdown. ODU adds to their lead. Southern Miss gets the ball back. A three and out after two pretty good plays by Felonte Mischer, Brandon Addison in the secondary. They make a couple plays to force a three and out. ODU gets the ball back on the very first play. Duhart, 64-yard touchdown pass catch from Schuler Bentley on a great fake screen. You know, I've seen this. You know, Wes Welker and Peyton Manning, I saw perfected this play for a couple years. That one year that Denver blew up when Peyton Manning had like the 40. 8 50 touchdown passes. They ran this play to perfection. ODU likes to run that little receiver bubble screen a lot. They faked it, and instead of throwing the bubble screen, Duhart streaked down the field and was all alone for a 64-yard touchdown and a 31-21 lead. I mean, things were going great. This was exactly as Bobby Wilder scripted it, and then boom, God, it went all downhill and like fast. ODU did not score again after that long touchdown pass to Jonathan Duhart, and well, the floodgates just opened. So after that long touchdown pass, you figured Southern Miss would settle down, and they did. A nice little five-play, 71-yard drive with a couple big runs of 19 and 31 yards to set up that touchdown run. But listen, I wasn't worrying yet. You knew they were going to put up points. You know, that's how ODU wins close games. They go back and forth. So I knew that 10-point lead wasn't going to last, but I wasn't expecting the Pascal fumble. On the very first play, ODU gets the ball back. Zach Pascal has the ball running for a big gain and just had poor ball control, poor ball security, and he fumbled, giving Southern Miss a short field. What followed? An 8-play, 29-yard drive, a really short field, getting it at the 29, and in which Southern Miss converted 2 fourth-down conversions, setting up another touchdown. So now, Southern Miss clearly has the momentum, but OU gets the ball back. What happens on the very first play again? An interception on one of the freakier plays, by the way, I've ever seen. A defensive lineman or a blitzing linebacker knocks the ball back about 5 yards into the diving hands of a pass-rushing defensive end. I've never seen a play not like that. Normally, the ball's batted up in the air. But what a great defensive play by Southern Miss, making a play right there when it's needed to be made. And sure enough, when you get the ball first and goal on the 4-yard line, you don't need many plays, and they didn't. One play, touchdown, and in about 6 minutes of football, ODU went from a nice 10-point lead to being down 42-31. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was blitzkrieg. You know, Bobby said after the game that he felt that they didn't handle that well. They didn't handle that 6 minutes late in the third, early in the fourth really well. He said it felt it showed their youth not being able to handle that adversity, and they need to learn from that. I think I agree with Bobby if he's talking about the offense. You know, having a couple of those big turnovers, and after those big turnovers, they followed it up with 3 straight 3-and-outs once they got the ball back. So the offense, I don't think, handled that adversity well, but that's nothing new for this offense. They've handled that adversity. They haven't handled that adversity well all year, because this is not a team built for coming back from leads like that. Look at all their games that they have lost have been blown out. The closest one has been 20 points to Marshall. So this team is not built to come from behind. They are more comfortable playing with the lead because of the style of offense they run. So when you fall behind that much and you have to start to sling it around, well, we know that's not Shuler Bentley's strength, and that they need to run the ball to set up the pass, and they need the short passes to the outside to set up the inside runs. So I don't agree with Bobby the offense maybe didn't show it well, the adversity. But the defense, I got to cut the defense a little bit slack. I know I've been doing it all year, but man, you give up when your offense gives up the ball 3 times on a short field like that, 2 times on a short field like that. You know, you're just a yo-yo. You sit down on the bench, you're expecting a little bit of rest, maybe a sip of water, maybe a little oxygen, and boom, you got to go right back in. And I just think it's really started to wear them down, which was frustrating because it didn't look like, you know, it didn't look like Southern Miss was that much better than ODU than the score symbolized at the end of the game, the 56-31 final. The game was a lot closer than that. Just kind of got away from them at the end. But it's tough. I mean, you put a defense on a short field like that where there's no margin for error, it's very difficult to hold teams, especially once some of these teams get really the offensive rolling like Southern Miss did. Listen, the fourth quarter wasn't pretty. ODU had some chances, but they just could not get the ball moving at all. As I said, you know, too many 3-and-outs. They gave up some big runs, and Southern Miss really just put that one away. you know, not a particularly strong performance by the defense. I think they were blitzed in that third quarter, as I just said, but they gave up 612 total yards, only 227 in the first half. So that's a whopping 385 in the second half. And the most glaring statistic for me for this defense is 310 yards on the ground they surrendered. And that's been a problem all year. We know that. I don't know if it's communication exactly. It could be that maybe, you know, we do have some decent size on the line, but it's not typical D1 size. They need to add a little more size. So next year, you figure with as many guys coming back, the run defense will get better because the defensive line and those guys will just be a little bit bigger and stronger. So, you know, that's a little upsetting. But just that third quarter, God, what a pain in the ass that third quarter was, man. I was actually at the Hurricanes game listening on the radio to, you know, Ted Alexander and Andy Mashaw, and I got back to the station after the Hurricanes won their game against Georgia Tech and just turned on the TV just to catch the second half, and I got to see all of it. I got to see just the crumbling. So it wasn't a real good performance. But hey, listen, it's not the end of the world. They just needed one win in the last two, and they still got a chance to get that. But let's talk a little bit about some of these players first that we saw from the Southern Miss game. Hey, Martez Simpson, what a great game. And listen, I owe you guys an apology. I did some very bad show prep last week because I somehow missed the connection that Martez Simpson was from Mississippi. I mean, I read it, I saw it, and I didn't connect two and two that they were playing Southern Miss. And so, sorry about that. I dropped the ball on that one, you know, mental error on my part. But listen, he said he felt slighted after the game because Southern Miss did not recruit him, and he had a lot to prove, and he proved it. 11 tackles, a 33-yard fumble return for a touchdown. You know, just a great performance by Martez Simpson, who's really been bringing it all year. I mean, just really knows how to play linebacker, and I'm still shocked. I mentioned it last week. I talk about it with Jonathan Duhart a little bit, but that guy, he's only played defense his entire life. He never played offense, not one snap, not in Little League, nothing. That's crazy. But it shows he's pretty instinctual there at linebacker, and I think that's one reason why. Hey, listen, my other player of the game on defense, it's every week this guy, Felonte Mischer, just every week, 11 tackles, another interception. That's his third in two games. He's just been solid all year, one of the most consistent players for the Monarchs. And listen, he's got possible postseason honors coming his way. You know, no defensive players for the Monarchs made any of the conference teams last year. Only three players did. They were on offense. So Felonte Mischer has a chance to make a postseason with one more good game. He could make one of the first or second, I would guess second or third team all-conference. And he may not be alone. There's some other guys on that team. TJ Ricks, leading this conference in tackling, has to be on one of those teams. So it's been a nice, you know, there have been some nice individual performances. While it has struggled as a unit at times, the ODU defense, they've had a lot of some nice individual performances throughout the year. Let's move over to the offensive side of the ball, where I always have my eye. Quarterback David Washington hurt again. I mean, this is, you know, I feel bad for the kid. This one's pretty bad. I mean, this one's really bad. He hurt it in a first quarter pileup. They had an MRI this past Monday, a torn ACL, a torn MCL, a torn meniscus. I mean, that's like the microscopic surgery hat trick, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing else you can tear on your knee. And so he needs surgery. They don't have timetable yet on that, but he wants to return next year. Well, listen, injuries are an issue with this guy now. I mean, it's happened. Listen, I love David Washington. He looks calm. He looks poised. He looks like he could be a really above-average college quarterback, but he can't stay on the field, and that's an issue. He had an ankle injury at Eastern Michigan, a concussion against App State. He hurt his knee ligaments, of course, at FIU, which I thought was a much worse injury than what it turned out to be. And then now this. I hate to use the term injury prone, but if it's happening every third or fourth game, it's an issue. Well, David needs to fix that, and he needs to fix that by getting a little bigger and stronger. He's got to be able to take some of those hits. You know, and that might take away from some of his quickness and, you know, elusiveness, but he, in this offseason, he wants to do some aggressive rehab. Those were his words. That's actually Wilder said that he wants to start a very aggressive rehab program. Well, he needs to add some weightlifting in that too, because he needs to get bigger to take some of those hits that those big D linemen will drop down on you. And listen, like I said, it might slow him down a little bit. It might slow his quickness, but Dave prefers to throw the ball. He's not a run-first quarterback. He's a throw-first. So, you know, he needs to add some size. And just a word of caution to David Washington. Hey, listen, if you want an aggressive rehab program, go get it. But, hey, be careful, man. Don't rush it too much. You got a long season, long off season. If you can get that surgery in the next month, you know, listen to the doctors. Don't force it because you don't want to get any kind of relapse, you know, especially if you want to play next year. Now, his replacement, Shuler Bentley. Shuler, we all know the roller coaster Shuler Bentley ride from this year, but it's really steadied out. 22 of 41, 228 yards, 3 touchdowns, and more importantly, he came in ready to play. He was prepared, and I think part of that goes to the fact that Washington has been beat up the last several games. Shuler had to come in when Washington got hurt at FIU, then he was named the starter next week. So the last couple games, Shuler did his due diligence, he prepared as a backup did, and he got his chance again, which to us shouldn't be surprising at this point, as I talked about with the David Washington injury problems. But Shuler came in ready to play, and he looked good. I mean, no sacks, which was a major issue earlier in the year. And, you know, Bobby Wilder credited that to a lot of the work that Shuler did with Ron Whitcomb when he got benched. And listen, getting benched is a gut check. You know, when you get benched, that doesn't feel good. And you need to work hard to get your game back, to fix the problems in your game. And Shuler did that. You know, to say he's gotten better is really the understatement of the year. I mean, from not playing a game in about 2 years, he goes in, he wins a couple games on the road, and then hits that tough 3-game stretch against NC State, App State, and Marshall. Doesn't look that good. Gets benched. Works hard. Gets benched to one of his favorite teammates, by the way, which him and David Washington are very close. You know, plays a couple games off the bench, didn't play in 3, comes back in. But Shuler's been, you got to love his mental makeup. If he can handle that kind of up and down and still pretty good performance on the field. But hey, listen, we're going to need one more. We're going to need one more for him against FAU. We'll get more into that later. No baby bull this week. Have to talk about Ray Lowry's replacement, Jeremy Cox, 21 of 98 on the ground. And he really earned them all. You know, Bobby Wilder after the game said he was outstanding. He had the dirty, tough yards, broke a lot of tackles, and he was excellent on ball security. You know, Bobby was concerned about some of the hits he took. But that's what Jeremy Cox is. He's a bit of a bruising runner. He likes that contact a little bit more than Ray does. You know, Ray takes the contact, but he's more about kind of sneaking in there amongst the trees of those D linemen and then breaking out and breaking the big runs. But Jeremy Cox looked good. You know, he's got some good size on him. You know, and I like what he did with the ball. He didn't break a big one this week. He shown that ability a week ago. But he gives a nice little change of pace because he, you know, it's kind of similar to Ray, but not exactly similar style of runner to Ray. So I'm expecting to see Jeremy Cox get several more carries in the next game against FAU and hopefully a bowl game, just to take a little wear and tear off Ray and to get him some experience for next year. You know, to me, these last two games hopefully are all about getting some of these younger guys even more experience. Next player who was impressive, Jonathan Duhart, just doing it again. Just a completely different player since the Western Kentucky game. We talked to him about that later in the podcast. 9 catches, 134 yards, 2 touchdowns, 7 touchdowns in his last 4 games. I mean, that's pretty good, man. That's dominant. That's knowing you're going to be knowing the defense is going to kind of focus on you and still getting the job done. You know, he was talking to me later, you'll hear, how his confidence has always been there, but how it's grown. And he knows his size is a plus. It's always been a plus. And he's learning how to take real advantage of that size. He's also talked about how he played a lot of receiver as a kid. You know, a lot of wide receiver as a kid. And his dad was a former player, always giving him some tips on how to play football. But listen, the offense, God, they looked great in the first half. They really did. I mean, that was ODU football. Control the ball, get some scores, frustrate him on defense, and then the buzzsaw, that third quarter hit, you know. And I'm upset how the offense didn't really respond, but they, like I said, they're just not built to come down back from 21 points down, from 15, from 2 touchdowns. That's not their strength. If it's early in the game, you can do it. If it's late in the game, ODU has proven, at least this, the 2015 version has proven, they are not a come-from-behind late team. They can do it early. They can't do it late. So, a bit upsetting. I really thought they were going to do better, but that third quarter was just, And I'll tell you what, is covering the Dolphins, we've had several games like that where you're in control, you're cruising, and then it seems to be those three or four plays that kind of just bust the game out. Very frustrating. But listen, it's not the end of the world. They had two games left. They had to get one of those, and they still have that opportunity. But before we break down the FAU game, we got a couple players to talk to. Coming up first on the other side. Hey, this kid is improving every single game. We're seeing him grow up right before our eyes, and he's becoming a real dominant force for you, ODU Monarchs. That's number 9, wide receiver Jonathan Duhart, coming up. Back in the Monarch Asylum podcast, the next guest has to be probably the hottest Monarch on the team right now. Wide receiver, number 9, 6'3", out of Midlothian, Virginia. He's a sophomore. Be Jonathan Duhart, the Jonathan Duhart of 7 touchdown catches in the last 4 games. Jonathan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you.
Jonathan, you're number 9, wide receiver, 6'3", out of Midlothian, Virginia. I see you're out of the Central Virginia area. What team did you follow growing up?
San Diego Chargers.
How does a kid from Virginia become a Charger fan?
Honestly, I couldn't tell you. I think I like them because of their colors.
Well, I think that was about the time LaDainian Tomlinson was scoring about 30 touchdowns a year, too. So, that's funny. Well, actually, I'll actually be in San Diego in a couple of weeks for that Dolphins Chargers game, so that should be exciting.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. So, who was your favorite player?
Growing up, I want to say Randy Moss.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, did you always have an eye on a receiver? Did you knew you wanted to be a receiver when you were a little
kid? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been playing receivers since I was about 5 or 6.
You know, I had this conversation with Martez Simpson the other day. Martez told me that he never played offense. He has never played offense one down in his life. I mean, isn't that crazy?
That is.
So you knew at a young age you wanted to be a wide receiver. Why do you think that happened? Why do you think you liked it so much?
I don't know. I remember when I was young, my dad he's always had football in my hand. He's throwing to me. I used to catch all the time. So I thought I'd be pretty good at receiving. I was always a tall, lanky kid.
Did your dad play any football? What did he?
He played a linebacker at Notre Dame for a year, and then Morehouse.
So what did he emphasize you as a young receiver about not dropping the ball or using your hands? Did he teach you like how to be a good receiver at a young age?
Yeah, he told me to keep the ball with my chest. If I had the body catch a lot. That's all I took in high school.
Now I know you had some drops earlier in the season. Did your dad remind you? After a bad game, what's the conversation like with your father?
After a bad game, he's always picking me up at the same time, he told me that I'm better than that, and but there's always room to improve, and I can always be so much about the past, and I look forward to the future.
Let's look back at that Southern Miss game real quick. You said after the game that one hurt, and then you thought you let that one get away from the team. What exactly did you mean by that?
Well, going into the fourth, we actually had a lead, a couple free plays. And, split right around on us. We're down 4 points. We get a 3-and-out and then just score again. And it just slipped away from us really fast.
Yeah, like the ball just got, those 2 turnovers were big, and then boom, boom. From a lead, you're digging out of a big hole. Let's talk a little bit more about your game specifically, because I really see kind of a tale of two seasons for you, and I kind of see that Western Kentucky game as kind of like that line. Before the Western Kentucky game, you played 7 games, you had 14 catches and 1 touchdown. And then after the Western Kentucky game, you've basically doubled your stats. In 4 games, 27 catches, 389 yards, and a whopping 7 touchdowns, including, what do you got now, 7 in your last 4 games? I mean, that's pretty impressive. What was the difference? What do you think caused that change for you?
After watching the Kentucky game, I realized, you know, that I'm not a high school student anymore. You know, I'm in college, and I can actually, I gotta have the mindset where I don't think anybody in the country can guard me. But every time I want to see a matchup, you know, I have to win my matchup. You know, because if I don't win my matchup, you know, that goes back to her shoulder, that hurts Dave, that hurts shoulder and Dave, then, you know, the line can't protect me so long. So if I don't get open, then I messed up the whole play.
I remember after that game, you also mentioned how part of the game plan was taking advantage of your size over some of the smaller cornerbacks on Western Kentucky. Take me back to that week when you get that in the game plan, when you see that they are going to target you in the red zone, maybe a little more than they had all year. What was it like when you first got that in the game plan?
I've always been a bigger target ever since high school. I've been used to catching fade balls. So, I mean, I wasn't too overwhelmed or anything. I just went out there and I did what they asked.
Did that give you any more confidence going into that week, or is that kind of?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did?
It definitely gave me a little bit more confidence knowing that they trust me down there. I put the ball in the end zone.
How did you work the offense early part of the year did struggle a little bit. I know there were some drops, not just by you, but by multiple receivers. But it seems like in the last 3 to 4 weeks, a lot of the issues that were plaguing the team early, specifically the offense early in the season, have been fixed. What do you attribute that to?
I know me personally, the Marshall game, I had a couple of big drops. But after that game, I told myself, no, I can't ever let that happen again. I came out with a different mindset at practice, and we've been focusing on looking the ball in more practice, and translate into the game.
Okay, let me finish this up. We got one last game. Well, hopefully two more games, but definitely at least one with Florida Atlantic coming to town. Bobby Wilder called it after the game. It's Super Bowl week for you guys. We know you want to get to those 6 victories to get to the bowl game. What has been Coach Wilder's message to you guys this week as you prepare for that game?
This is a must-win game. It's a historical game for our program, our school. You know, we want to be the first team and all the men so you get to a bowl game. And then we want to do it this year. We got to come in this week with a sense of urgency. Coach Wilder's always talking about a sense of urgency yesterday. But we just got to go out on Saturday and got to execute on our home turf.
Last question for you. What kind of atmosphere are you expecting? You know, it's the last game. Hopefully everyone wants another. You know, I'm personally proud of the fact as an ODU fan that ODU's football's never had a losing season, and I think that's a remarkable statistic in today's athletic world. So what do you think that field's going to be like, and what are you expecting on Saturday?
I think it's going to be great. I know our sophomore is going to be behind us. I think that we're going to come out with the season's agency. I think we're going to come out excited and ready to go, and I think we're going to bring this one back.
All right, well, Jonathan, thank you very much for your time. Hopefully we can maybe have another conversation next year, and hopefully you get the win this Saturday and get one more game under your belt and get a little bowl experience. That would be great.
I just said thank you. Thank you for having me.
Continuing on in the Monarch Asylum podcast, let's move over to the defensive side of the ball, where we have number 96, 6'2", defensive end out of Washington, D.C., junior Terrell Reed. Terrell, how are you doing today?
I'm good, David. How are you?
I'm doing great. Listen, I want to talk to you a little bit about your high school. I noticed that you played 3 sports. So you played football, basketball, and baseball?
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's pretty rare nowadays. Not all people play all 3. Why did you choose to play all 3 sports?
I just felt like I was an athletic person. I wanted to get a touch on all sports so I can relate things that I learned to each sport.
It was football your favorite? Was football your favorite?
Yes, sir.
And how were you as a basketball player? Break it down for me. Were you good enough to play D1 or were you good enough to play on the college level?
I feel like I was good enough to play at the college level. But I just saw a brighter future in football, and I took it.
What position did you play basketball-wise?
Basketball, I was a four, power four.
Okay, and then in baseball, you know, you seem like a pretty big baseball player, but what position do you play in baseball?
Baseball, I played third base and first base.
Okay, and could you hit?
Yes, sir.
What was it? What, like, were you average power, or what were you?
I was really a power hitter. I can't remember my averages back then.
How many home runs did you hit?
Home runs, I don't think. I had one in part home run.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yep.
How do you think those sports helped you play football? Like you said, you take a little bit from that to football, like, because they're pretty different. They use different muscles. They use kind of different reflexes.
Just being able to get my body flowing and moving in different ways, it helps me with, like, as far as recovery. Helps me with moving around and just knowledge of the sport.
I want to move on to how did you get to ODU? I like talking to guys like yourself who are juniors and seniors, because, you know, ODU's only been around 6 years. This is the seventh year, and I know a lot of times when you're a football player and you're getting recruited, it's easy to see those big names coming after you. But here's a little known school that comes after you. How did they convince you to get to Norfolk to play?
Well, I had all the coaches come to my house. They told me about the master's program they had going on. My mother was very attracted. My mother and I were very attracted in that. Back in that time, Keon Malone, he was the DB's coach here. He was my recruiting coordinator. He came down, sat with me, gave me a real talk, and he really just sold it to me. And I appreciated what he was doing for me as far as keeping it real with me. And I saw a future here. I saw a home here. I took it.
And what master's program? Or what's your major in?
My major right now is criminal justice, and I have a minor in computer science. And I'm looking to work in cybersecurity when I leave.
Oh, well, that's a growing field, so you're probably on the right track right there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Security. I guess security is on your mind. You, of course, playing defense. I do got to ask you, is Martez Simpson permanently, you know, in debt to you after that forcing that fumble, and he could take one to the house in his home state? Like, what was that like?
Yeah, we're still talking it out. I'm trying to figure out what I need from him, you know.
Yeah, that
we're still talking out the logistics.
Yeah, because I know he was actually he was upset he was never recruited by Southern Miss, so that worked out perfect for him. Let's talk a little bit more about this defense. You know, Bobby Wilder always talks about how young this team is, and we see how young it is across the board. But you have some nice veteran pieces on your defense. How have you seen the defense kind of develop over the year, especially when you're integrating so many young guys with some veterans?
I really think that it's the veterans. The veterans are getting the younger guys ready to play, and it's just the fact that when they have the chance to go in, they know what they're doing, and it's just like the veterans are still in there, you know, if you know what I'm saying.
No, absolutely.
They can make plays. We have athletic guys. We have smart guys. We got guys who can think on a run, and it's just coming together well.
What's it like? Is it kind of a safety blanket, too? I mean, you've got two guys, T.J. Ricks at linebacker, leading the conference in tackling, and Felonte Mischer just having a great year at safety. I mean, you guys got some real strength up the middle there. How have you seen – are those guys kind of like some of those leaders on defense?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Felonte Mischer, he's actually my roommate, a guy I played against in high school. Great guy. NFL prospect. We got TJ, another guy that I came in with, who was also a linebacker when I first came in. We just all thrown together. We all played together. And I really think it's the chemistry is bringing us together. And it's allowing us to excel as far as those categories. As you said, TJ leading the conference, tackling. And it's really just the chemistry that we have together.
Well, you're going to need that. You're going to need that chemistry this week. You know, Bobby mentioned it after the Southern Miss win that this is your Super Bowl. I've heard multiple guys talk about it. And this is not something Bobby Wilder's shy from doing. You've experienced it for several years now. When there's a big moment, he acknowledges it. He brings it up to you guys. You know, as a player, when you see Bobby stand up in front of the group and say, hey, this is our Super Bowl. Hey, this game is important. Hey, we need 3 out of 4 games. Bobby's not adverse to putting the big moment on your guy's shoulder. How do you guys react when he stands up and basically says those things?
I feel like we react well to adversity. I mean, that's the reason why we play football. We play football to be in big games and be in games that count or they really matter. And I feel like it doesn't add pressure to us at all. I feel like we take it very well. And there's no panic out here. Everybody's just playing.
What would this win mean, getting this win against FAU and getting to that first bowl game in ODU history? What would that mean to you guys?
It would mean everything. This is start something new at ODU. We'll be the first team to make it to a bowl game. We'll be in history. So this is a big win. When we get this win, we're down in history forever. Everybody will remember this team. So we're all looking forward to it.
Listen, last question for you. You ever at times, I know it's always a focus on this year and the next play, but you ever at times when you're with your, some of your teammates talking, hey, listen, we're going to be good the next year, the next 2 years with how much youth we got, how many guys that are playing, and how much experience we're getting together. It seems to me that just the future is really bright for this team right now.
Very bright. As I said before, we have a lot of young guys on the team, and because we have key veteran players that are willing to help the younger guys and get them on the right track, we all have confidence in the future and up and coming Monarchs.
All right, Lyde, last question. What's the key to beating FAU? What do you guys got to do to come out with a W?
Just get stopped, get off the field. Third, 3 and outs, just executing. There's nothing really to it. I mean, just playing. Playing how we can play when we come together. We're a great team.
All right, Torrey Reed, thank you very much for your time. Number 96, big defensive end. Good luck this weekend. Go get that Super Bowl victory.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it.
Hang all the mistletoe. I'm going to get to know you better. This Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. Well, this Christmas, the fireside is blazing bright. We're caroling through the night, and this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me.
All right, last block of the Monarch Asylum podcast. Let's go over the music you've heard. First one you heard, Classic Battle by Sam Spence. That's some old school NFL films. I had to break out two of those this week. Sam Spence on both of them. Classic Battle was the first one. The Clue, the second one. The Clue, that's from Super Bowl II highlight reel. Listen, if that, you know, that music just gets you ready for football. And I'm ready for some football this weekend. Last song you heard, Harry Connick Jr., This Christmas. So listen, I love holiday music. I love it. I'll always listen to it. Yeah, it goes pretty heavy in the rotation around this time of year. Usually right around Thanksgiving, I'll start to put it on. It's some good stuff. I can hear the same stuff over and over again every Christmas. So looking forward to that. Hope everyone out there has a good holiday season. I hope everyone gets an early holiday gift, too, with a win over FAU. Listen, this is a big game. We talked about it. It's Super Bowl week. You know, Bobby Wilder at it again. And he's right. It's the biggest game in school history. Calling it the Super Bowl after the game. Shuler mentioned it as a Super Bowl in the post-game interview. You know, and Bobby has always stressed how games in November are the ones that matter. Well, what are they getting to face? They're facing a hot FAU team. Let's be honest. You know, losing to Florida in overtime, I mean, that's ridiculous, especially down here in Florida land. That's one of those eye-openers when you're walking around anywhere in Florida. You hear that score, people are like, what? They're like, wait, 14-14? Is that football or is that baseball? Or what sport is that? Because it's not football. You know, I was actually at the University of Miami game, stuck in a rain delay in the photographer workroom, talking to one of my buddies, Jim Rasol. He's actually a team photographer for FAU. He was going crazy. And he was excited. He was happy with the loss. And I said, no, man, don't be happy with the loss. Go get that win. You got that win. And they had a chance to make plays, but they couldn't make them at the end. So FAU, just a great performance by them. You know, he was, Jim, my buddy Jim was like, they've already won this game. They already won this game going to overtime. I'm like, no, man, this isn't enough. This isn't enough. Go get the win. But they didn't. Listen, so they're hot. They're playing hot. They're playing with some confidence. Yes, they only have two wins, but they're playing with some confidence and they're playing for revenge. Remember last year, ODU got to six wins with the last second field goal win in Boca Raton over the Florida Atlantic Owls. And, you know, much like the FIU game earlier in this year, you know that revenge has to be a little on their mind, losing that game like they did last year, using that last second game in Taylor Heineke's last game. Let's talk a little bit about FAU. Everything I'm hearing about them and talking about their defense, how good they are, how well they've played recently, you know, how they lead Conference USA with 28 sacks. But I think that's a bit of a skewed number because 17 of those 28 sacks have come in two games. So two of those games have gotten, 60% of their sacks, which is, that's a lot. So that leads to tell me that ODU, if they can protect, there's two roads we can go down. Either one, they can protect and keep Shuler clean, or two, the floodgates are going to open and somehow FAU is going to get another six or seven sacks. I'm hoping that doesn't happen, but, you know, it looks like it could be Jekyll or Hyde with his defensive line. So let's hopefully that, you know, the way the offense have been playing, that they can get out to that early lead and not afford that defensive line just to pin their ears back and rush the quarterback. You know, so getting out to an early lead, establishing some long drives early would be big for ODU if they want to pull out this win. Now, hey, to pull out those long drives, you're going to need a guy like Ray Lowry. Jeremy Cox did a great job last week, but it would be nice to have the baby bull back in the pen running. He wants to play, but Bobby Wilder admitted that his health is of primary importance. If he's not ready, he won't play. But he did practice this week, and I think Ray really wants that Conference USA rushing title. He's sitting on 1,128 yards right now. He's got an 81-yard lead on the second-place guy, Jalen Richard, out of Southern Miss. And also, he's got an 86-yard lead on Jarvian Williams out of UTSA. You know, Richard, USM is playing at Louisiana Tech for the West title. So I don't think they're just going to feed him the ball. He's going to have to get that organically as part of the game plan. But Jarvian Williams, UTSA, they're playing Middle Tennessee State with really nothing to play for. So I wouldn't be surprised if he got some extra carries to try and get him close to that rushing title. So I figure Ray's going to need around 80 to 90 yards, maybe a little over 100, just to firmly secure that rushing title, which I think he wants. And that would be a great boost for the offensive line, too. You know, as banged up as they've been, as we know the stories, but as banged up as they've been, to be able to get a rushing title for Ray Lowry with no tight ends, wow, that's something Bobby can build on. That's absolutely something Bobby can go to his players and show them what they've done. You know, but like I said, I also expect Jeremy Cox to get a fair amount of carries. I really expect him to, because I think, one, he can spell Ray, and two, it's just going to get him more experience going into next year, which I think will be vital. You want to get these guys as much experience as possible, especially in these now deemed playoff Super Bowl style games. Now from the quarterback, what can we expect from Shuler? Listen, Bobby Wilder in his press conference this week stressed quarterback play, the importance of it, how all the good teams in Conference USA have it, and how they have to get it from Shuler. And Bobby's up front with his guys, man. He does this with all of his kids. It's the fourth week in a row. He is not afraid to... He doesn't shy away from the big moment, and he doesn't think his guys should. And, you know, it's so many. I'll be honest. There's so many times I hear, "Oh, it's just another game. It's just another game. It's just another game." Well, no, it's not just another game. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's more important than just another game. And this one has all the markings of that. So what's on the line? Okay, first thing we know, it's the first ever bowl bid in the history of the program in its first season of eligibility. We've had two postseason runs, you know, in 2011 and 2012, but that was, of course, in FCS. So this is the third possible postseason eligibility and the first ever bowl bid. So that's huge. And, you know, Bobby Wilder wants the kids to hear the noise. He wants them to know about the sense of urgency. And talking to, you know, the players today, talking to Jonathan Duhart and Terrell and other players in the past, they know it. Bobby makes it palpable. He starts those practices letting the players know what's on the line. They're all aware of the scenario. Win, and they get a bowl game. As Bobby Wilder said, it's there. It's there for our taking. It's a lot of pressure to put on some kids, isn't it?
Well, we don't use the word pressure. You know, to me, pressure is for people that aren't prepared. People who aren't prepared feel pressure. So we've been talking about having a sense of urgency. And we've basically been in elimination games for the last month. I mean, this started for us at 3-5 when we were at San Antonio. So we've talked about having that sense of urgency. We've talked about our backs have been against the wall for a month. So they know it and they've responded to it.
Always the teacher, Bobby Wilder. You know, pressure is for the unprepared. And I can see that. And we always know Bobby Wilder's team is one of the most well-prepared. Situational football. If I ever get a chance to talk with Bobby, I'm really going to try and effort an interview for the season, you know, for the next episode, whether it be pre-bowl or post-season recap. I want to talk to Bobby a little more in depth about situational football and what he likes to accomplish in certain situations and how he decides these situations that they practice. So, you know, Bobby has the guys ready. They know what's ahead of them. A Bobby Wilder staple handling situations like this, not glossing over it. But, you know, my only question is, how many times can you prime the well? I mean, he's said it. It's been in the playoffs for 4 weeks. Can you keep that attitude, that motivation up? I would hope for this game you could, since it is a win or your season's over type deal. But, you know, this team listens to Bobby. They listen to him and they buy into what he's saying. And I love Bobby for that. He doubles down on this important. I'm huge on the mental aspect of football or sports, you know, about acknowledging situations, about needing to make a play in a certain moment, about how some games are more important than others. And for Bobby, those games are in November.
I've always tried to, with this program, make the games that are in November the really important games. When you get down to it, those are the ones that matter the most. Sure, you got to be good in September and October to get to meaningful games, but having those games in November be the ones to remember, that's put that sense of urgency on this program every time we've stepped into November. We're 19-3 in that month, so our players have responded.
19-3, a very impressive stat. Let's hope he makes it 20-3. Now, listen, this game is important for a couple other reasons, too, because if you get this bowl bid, you're going to get a lot more practices. You're going to get a lot more practices, and every coach will tell you those bowl game practices are crucial, vital for the next year's development, more than for bowl preparedness. It's just a whole other set of practices that you get that other teams don't. So I want those extra practices for this young team. And the third thing that's important to me with this game is, hey, it could be the first ever losing season for ODU football if they lose this game. They've never been worse than 6-6 in the history of football, and I'm proud of that. I love that. I bring that up to people, and they're like, what, really? People don't even think that's possible. So, hey, that's the third most important thing. Let's not have a losing season, because I don't like losing seasons. I mean, who likes losing? God, I know I don't. All right, but let's look at the bowl scenario real quick. Listen, ODU wins and they're in, and they know it. Everyone knows it. FAU knows it. We know it. The players know it. You know, last week it was a bit more muddled, but three teams got eliminated. FIU, UTEP, Rice, thanks for playing. They all lost games that they needed to win, but they are no longer bowl eligible. So ODU, if they get this win, when they get this win, will be the sixth team to get a bowl bid out of seven Conference USA bowl bids. So ODU's looking good. Win and you're in. Right now, Harry Minium for the Virginia Pilot puts the Monarchs in the Gilda New Mexico Bowl or the Arizona Bowl. Most experts have them going out west, but one guy from ESPN has them in seat, Pete. That's the one I'm pulling for because I can actually make that game. That's an 11 o'clock start in St. Petersburg, and I could drive over and be back in time for the Dolphins-Colts game the very next day. So that would be beautiful for me just to be a little jealous. And just to be a little biased. But that's the one I'm pulling for. Hey, but listen, it's been a fun playoff stretch, man. You got to give it up. They needed three wins in their last four games, and they have a chance to get it. And they have a chance to do it in really entertaining fashion. You know, it's a one-game season. You know, FAU, got to beat FAU. This is, you know, ODU has a history of winning games like this, of winning games that they know they need to get, and they go out and get them, and they usually do it in dramatic fashion. So that would not surprise me whatsoever. So, hey, listen, hopefully next week, we got a couple more, a lot more podcasts coming once we switch over to basketball. But as far as football related, I'm hoping I have two more shows left. If ODU wins, we're going to have a nice little bowl game preview. And then a season ender after the bowl game. But if ODU does lose, we'll have a nice season ender come up for you sometime in December to wrap up the football season. But I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on the win. You know, next time you talk to me, we're going to be having our Super Bowl recap. Until that time, I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. Go Big Blue. Go get that W.